President, please, please do not destroy this civilization of 10,000 years.
You know, this is a guy who goes home at noon and plays computer games. Somehow he's got to understand that when Pac-Man, if you play it with real people, they bleed. They are somebody's children. And he has absolutely no sense of that.
Another round of bombs are being loosely recorded in the press.
We must reject the self-declared play-acting strategy of Emperor George W. Bush and his palace minions, Monsieur Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Madam Rice.
This is a guy who wants blood.
I am sad today.
He has no experience with war. His daddy bought him out of it. His knowledge of the Mideast is East Texas.
We invaded? Bush invaded? They invaded.
An historic vote in the House as the president is granted war powers. This is Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. House lawmakers voted today on a measure granting the president the authority he's seeking to wage war against Iraq. The vote for H.J. 114 was 296 to 133 in favor of authorizing the president war powers to attack Iraq with or without the backing of the UN. Several amendments were offered that stopped short of giving the commander-in-chief the right to wage war. Among them, Representative Barbara Lee's of California's amendment, which called on the U.S. to go through diplomatic channels of the UN to renew arms inspections. That measure was defeated 72 to 355. During some 5 hours of floor debate, opponents of Bush's resolution fought hard to persuade their colleagues.
Why, in the face of overwhelming support, do so many of us vote no today? We respond not just to those we represent, but most of all, because individually, we must answer to the face we see each day in the mirror. We must answer to history. We must answer to our children and our grandchildren.
To preserve peace, we must authorize force. To build support, we must be prepared to lead. Our resolution resolves these paradoxes and represents the best means of averting war and of marshaling international cooperation. Let us cast a vote in favor of this resolution. It will be a vote for American leadership. It will be a vote for peace.
There's absolutely no evidence that any thinking person could give that says we are in any danger from Saddam Hussein today. You're in more danger from the snipers running around in Prince George's County that we can't find. You know that the president wants blood. He wants to go to war. That's why we're going through this. And so you are giving an inexperienced, desperate young man in the White House the execution lever to kill thousands of Americans. Some of you did that, and you could look at the 50,000 names on the wall down in the mall. And is Vietnam still in business? Last time I looked, don't do it again.
The reason I ran for public office in the first place was my hometown of 5,000 people had become overwhelmed by the Pagans motorcycle gang. 65 of them lived in my neighborhood. All their drug dealing was controlled from my town. Now, if I listen to the other side, maybe to solve the problem, I should have got them all in a circle, held hands, and we should have sang Kumbaya. The problem is the Pagans don't want to sing Kumbaya.
Kurt Weldon, the Pagans don't Republican deal from Pennsylvania.
The Pagans were only concerned with harming people and selling their drugs. Saddam Hussein is a Pagan.
If we give the president the authority to radically change our decades-old military doctrine of containment and deterrence, we need answers to questions the American people are asking.
Sherrod
if we
Brown,
strike
Democrat
Iraq on
Ohio.
Our own, will our coalition against terrorism fracture? Most of our allies in the war on terror oppose U.S. unilateral action against Iraq. And what will a unilateral strike tell the world? Does it embolden Russia to attack Georgia Georgia to chase down Chechenian rebels? Does it set an international precedent for China to go into Taiwan or to deal even more harshly with Tibet? Does it embolden India, Pakistan, or both, each with nuclear weapons, from going to war to protect their interest in Kashmir? And if we win a unilateral war, will we be responsible for unilaterally rebuilding Iraq? This Congress should not authorize the use of force unless the administration can detail what it plans to do and how we deal with the consequences of our actions.
Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio. At one point, activists seated in the House gallery chose to exercise their rights to dissent.
Resolution to authorize the use of United States armed forces against Iraq.
Gentleman from Ohio. The chair notes a disturbance in the gallery in violation of the rules of the House and directs the Sergeant of Arms to restore order.
Representative Pete Stark of California debated against giving Bush the big stick he needs to implement his war agenda. We spoke with Stark following the earlier debate. Congressman Stark, do you expect any political fallout of lawmakers for lawmakers voting to give Bush war powers?
Well, I think that the president has politicized it to the point where he's boxed people in. In other words, the president's mantra is that you're not Christian, you're not masculine, you're not patriotic, if you're not responsible, unless you give him absolute, unfettered ability to make a first strike any place he wants in the world, and presumably starting with Iraq. I have opposed any incursion into Iraq by our United States Armed Forces. They've asked us to go to the UN first, to the whole host of litany of diplomatic alternatives. Now, it's pretty well known that people generally write to you or call you who agree with you, more so than those who disagree. So I'd have to suggest that may not be representative, but I would bet you a nickel that 75% of the Bay Area in a poll would oppose unilaterally attacking Iraq, knowing what we know now.
I think, however, polls are showing that the majority of Americans would like for the Congress to exercise a little restraint in this, in terms of having the U.S. go through the U.N. and the diplomatic channels, as you said.
Absolutely. And a third of the Americans, or less than a third of the Americans, would support going to war if it's unilateral. In other words, 50-odd percent or more will support the president. But the minute they think that we would go in alone, that support withers away.
Mm-hmm. And so why then do you suppose your colleagues in the House
the Republicans want to keep the discussion focused on the war, which they're comfortable with. In other words, we sob sisters on the liberal left, as they would say, have always opposed war. We opposed Vietnam. We've not been very active in creating war. We've opposed Star Wars and more nuclear weapons and all of those things, so that they can claim the righteous lead as far as being credible killers and warmongers. And as long as they can discuss that and keep that in the press, they keep out of the press the fact that Social Security is going broke and they want to privatize it and reduce the benefits, the fact that pharmaceutical drugs are being less and less available to senior citizens and average Americans, that their health care costs have gone up 20%, that they are not going to fund the Leave No Child Behind. They're not even giving them a Greyhound ticket to keep up. So they preach about education, but they starve it and give no money to it. They are polluting the environment, the air and the water, by putting, imagine, PG&E's star witness against Aaron Brockovich was just appointed to head an advisory committee at the EPA on low-level poisons. Now, this is the guy who testified for PG&E. You talk about putting Fox in the hen house. These guys are pros at it. But that's the kind of issue that's going off the front page, and it's being usurped by the war, which is politically very advantageous to the Republicans at this time.
So then I guess the assumption is that the American people will, who at this time the climate seems to be that they're against going into Iraq unilaterally, I guess the Republicans are assuming that they'll forget about that when it comes time to go to the polls.
But they won't hear anything. I mean, we've got, what, another 4 weeks, and in that period of time, if they can keep talking about war, they won't have a chance to talk about the economy and the lack of jobs and high unemployment and all the other problems that are facing us. Somebody was mentioning 1984 and saying, you know, that really wasn't about high technology and mind control. That was about perpetual war. I have to think about that and go back and probably reread it. But that's the key to keeping a populace, you know, stultified and docile, is when you're, you know, when you're constantly concerned with a war, then you don't have a chance to think about much else.
But here's my point, Congressman. If most of the American people don't want the U.S. to go in unilaterally, and their Congress people are voting in favor of going to war, whether that's actually distracting them from the other issues or not, you don't think that the American...
Well, they're being fed the line that the president really wants to go through the U.N., which I don't believe for a minute. He hates the U.N. He sees it as an intrusion on our sovereign right. And the Republicans, I mean, we still haven't paid our dues, for heaven's sakes, to the U.N. No, the Republicans hate the U.N. It's a convenient diversion to say, well, we'll work with the UN, but they aren't going to get any support there. They got Blair, but not the British people. The British people are apt to tie a can to Blair's tail if he persists on this. They don't have Canada. No, there is no support for this guy, and he's no more going to go to the UN and humiliate himself there. That's not in his nature. This is a guy who wants blood.
So the UN is the next big arena where this this battle will be fought.
Not for very long, though. I mean, Bush will not tell you. He's laid down such tough conditions for the UN. He keeps saying, of course, if the UN doesn't do anything, I'll go it alone, which this resolution allows him to do. So the question is, how much do you trust this guy? As I like to say, he has no experience with war. His daddy bought him out of it. With an easy entry into the Air National Guard. Until recently, he thought Kashmir was a sweater. His knowledge of the Mideast is East Texas. And, you know, this is a guy who goes home at noon and plays computer games. And somehow he's got to understand that when Pac-Man, if you play it with real people, they bleed, they die. They are somebody's children. And he has absolutely no sense of that.
And so what's the plan now? What should Americans, peace-loving Americans, do who want to try and stop the president?
I would hope if their member of Congress, and they can tell by the votes today, opposes this resolution, go on to your state senate. We're blessed in California with state senators, or United States senators, who understand these risks and are going slow. I don't know what they're going to do in the final passage, but they've certainly been asking and speaking out to ask for moderation and diplomacy before we attack. We have to work wherever we can on, and the, particularly senators who are up for re-election are going to be very sensitive about that from now to November. If the Democrats lose control of the Senate and don't regain the House, so we lose control of both houses for the next 2 years, I think you've got real problems.
So on this war issue, if the Senate passes it as well, is it pretty much over?
Yeah. Yes. The Senate will pass it. I mean, I don't know, maybe Bob Byrd will come in and save us with a parliamentary maneuver and could stall it till Sunday or Monday, but my guess is... And then the only question is, who wins the office pool by how quickly Bush invades? And, you know, if Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz have their way, we'll be at war by Thanksgiving.
Representative Pete Stark from California, the Senate is expected to follow the House lead when it votes later tonight or tomorrow. This is Pacifica's Peace Watch. We'll be right back.
President got on TV and there was nary a dry eye. Said he loved this country and mom and apple pie. He said he was a proud man and he liked his home fries grilled. And as for countries harboring terrorists, those people should be killed. He said we'd send our bombers to deal with rogue states, and all those evil people would have to meet their fates. So it was with some trepidation that I looked up to the skies, 'cause I was driving past Fort Benning when I came to realize that I guess we're gonna have to bomb Columbus, Georgia, home of the infamous SOA, 'cause they trained the death squads of Columbia, who commit a massacre every day. Civilians are their targets, folks just like you and me. I guess that makes them terrorists. Any idiot must agree.
While Congress continues with the debate, activists in Washington are fighting an information war, putting their bodies on the line and their experts online. From Pacifica Station WPFW in Washington, Reem Kathuta files this report.
Why Congress evidently is going to support this war, even though everything we've heard from every office is that the calls and letters and faxes are 5-1, 10-1, 50-1, 100-1, 1,000-1 against this war.
Some 300 people gathered in the Upper Senate Park on the Capitol in Washington, D.C. in stepped-up action to oppose the war on Iraq.
No war for oil! We gotta fight for what we want! We gotta fight! We gotta let them know that we're not gonna take this!
We're organizing a demonstration here on the eve of the vote of Congress for this war in Iraq, and we are here to oppose it. We've had a situation here in which some of the Capitol Police seem to be taking a political stand and trying to harass us, even though we have a permit for the park. And we had one officer grab a permit out of our hands and trying to shut down our sound system and move us far away from the Capitol. And we insisted on our right to stay here and not to be bullied and not to be pushed around by cops who are taking sides, and we've prevailed. And we're going to stay out here until we get the vote that the world is waiting for.
Gephardt has no spine. He just follows Bush's lead.
About 20 people sat and blocked the driveway into the Capitol building, sitting there chanting, holding signs, and one by one, the police took them away, but Capitol Hill policemen went up to each one of the people sitting there and said, "Do you know that if you do not get up now, you will be arrested?" And each one nodded, "Fine, I will get arrested, because we believe that there should be no war in Iraq." And they sat there until they were all taken away.
Invest in war, receive terror. Invest in justice, receive peace.
While many were trying to correct the information about the war and the support for it in the streets, in front of the White House, and in locking down in various Congress offices, others through the media and the internet are making it their business to systematically reach out and promote the inclusion of outlooks that usually get short shrift. One such outfit is the Institute for Public Accuracy. I spoke with Sam Husseini about some of their latest efforts in trying to inform the public better about this war on Iraq.
The Institute for Public Accuracy really pick apart Bush's speech, and we had a dozen analysts, Middle East experts, legal experts, weapons and policy experts, on our webpage, accuracy.org/Bush. And I think it's important, and it lives and breathes, because a lot of the congressional supporters of Bush are just simply regurgitating a lot of misconceptions and skewed perspectives that he put out in his Cincinnati speech. Today, there was Tom Lantos, major Bush supporter, who's played a significant role in the first Gulf War by putting out the story about the baby incubator that ended up being a totally bogus story. His congressional so-called Human Rights Committee was pivotal for that, where they had so-called witnesses that ended up being the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the baby incubator story. So you see these hyped-up stories that after the fact, much later when it isn't relevant, become debunked. And I think that we could see similar things coming up. For example, Bush goes on about how threat comes from Iraq. Well, we had Chris Townsend from Middle East Report pick this apart, saying that Iraq isn't threatening to the region. Other powers are disrupting peace in the region. For example, Israel is crushing Palestinian resistance to occupation with brute force, and the U.S. and Britain have been bombing Iraq 46 times just this year in the so-called no-fly zones. But where's the evidence for a threat coming from Iraq? Susan Wright, the co-author of the book Biological Warfare and Disarmament, really scrutinized Bush's allegations about Iraqi armaments, chemical, biological, and nuclear, where Bush goes on about how threatening the Iraqi armaments are and that they're poised to develop nuclear and so on, when, again, there's no evidence.
I've actually asked the spokesman of France Foreign Ministry about that point particularly, and he said that governments cannot divulge that because it would attack their national and international security. But they mentioned they did see evidence of some potential arms developments.
Well, we can talk about potential evidence and so on, and I think that different powers are going to play a different role in facilitating a war and waiting for their price to be bid for their support, whether it's by divvying up the Iraqi oil fields amongst themselves and so on. The point is that obviously if you're genuinely curious about weapons of mass destruction, you're going to move to getting inspectors in there.
And that's what France is calling for.
That's what France is calling for now, and I think we have to be cautious in throwing our trust in other powers who may stand on principle and may stand on their own self-interest when they are cajoled, threatened, and bribed enough to take a certain position. Same with members of Congress. We at the Institute for Public Accuracy had the thoughts of John Berg, director of the government department at Suffolk University, that our Constitution makes it clear that Congress, not the president, is to declare war, that is, make the decision. For Congress to delegate this determination to the president would be an abdication of its congressional responsibility. So we've compiled these things as a tool for journalists as well as for activists at the webpage accuracy.org/Bush that picks apart a lot of the arguments that members of Congress who are stepping in lock with the administration going along with the bipartisan war party.
Sam Husseini from the Institute for Public Accuracy in Washington, D.C. Their analysis can be found at accuracy.org/Bush. This segment was produced with the help of David Russo, Norberto Martinez, and Josh Chaffin. Reporting for Pacifica's Peace Watch from WPFW in Washington, D.C., I'm Reem Kathoda.
Some Americans are literally putting their bodies on what could be the firing line in a campaign titled Give Blood, Don't Shed Blood. Henry Williamson is a paramedic from Charleston, South Carolina, who's in Iraq to make a point.
This is merely symbolic of an attitude that we would like to see go throughout the whole United States. Right now there's a very sanguine mentality spawned by, I think, Mr. Bush and his insistence on war. If our military destroys the water purification system and sewage treatment system, knowing that, and that they had predicted actually the types of illnesses and the types of populations they would affect, for example, children, cholera, and diarrhea, children, particularly children. And it's been going on for 12 years, and the United States and Britain have continued to veto equipment to repair and stabilize these the water purification system and the sewage treatment. That is biological warfare, by any definition, and the casualties from this thing, this action, has far surmounted even that of Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. You can look in the 2002 UNICEF magazine on the effects of the war, the sanctions on Iraq, February of this year, and everything is in detail.
You're aware that the U.S. House of Representatives is voting today and will more than likely pass a resolution granting President Bush the right to wage war, attack Iraq unilaterally without the support of the United Nations, if he deems fit. What kind of plans are you and the others making there in Iraq in the event that war actually does break out from the U.S.?
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran, three tours of duty, and when stuff starts flying around, all plans seem to go out the window. We have made implemented plans for a short-term food supply and water supply. We plan on rendering whatever medical aid we can to the civilians and hoping we don't become casualties ourselves. But the price of peace is sometimes very risky and often misunderstood. We are here as humanitarians, as peace people. We are not here for any political reason. Anybody that reaches out for help, you cannot turn your back on them. It doesn't matter who they are. And if there's a bleeding child in the street, I'm going. And that's it. And I'm sure my workmates will appreciate the same thing. They all do the same thing. We're not going to turn our backs on these people. The thing that's important to us is human beings, innocent people who are suffering without any control of their destiny. And if there's anything we can do to stop that by deterring the war, or failing that, to rendering medical aid at whatever capacity you can, we'll do that.
If you had an opportunity to speak directly to President Bush today, what would your message be?
I'd say, with due respect, Mr. President, said, please, please do not destroy this civilization of 10,000 years. The heart of this nation is peaceful. The bulk of this population is loving. The kindness that we get on the streets, almost without exception, is greeting, even though we are Americans. These people have lost over 1 million people. How can they look us in the face and say, welcome? We like Americans. We don't like your government. Sit down, have some tea with us. If he could just meet these people, they are loving, kind, honest, hardworking people. And I think he's making a grave mistake. I think he has taken license on himself that he doesn't have. And the result is going to be extremely brutal. And the number of lives that are going to be lost in this is going to be tremendous. Mr. President, please don't kill these people. Let the weapons teams in and let them do their job and let the results speak for themselves.
Henry Williamson of Voices in the Wilderness, Imperatives for Peace. You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. When we come back, Michael Parente on The Super Patriot and flag-burning youth speak out. Thank you.